Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.
And welcome to episode 47 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, GM, and slightly creepy computer program.
Slightly?
Alex Newell, and with me today
computer program?
What? James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith.
Sasha Rackett.
Hamishlo Haroon Al-Saham.
Sir Bertrand McGuffingham.
And things have gotten a bit revelatory in the last episode. Goodness me. Finally, an answer to a bunch of questions.
Mm. Well, sort of.
And so many more questions.
Yes.
And a big cliffhanger ending.
Well, if you'd only ask the right questions, you'd get the right answers.
I tried using sudo. It still didn't answer my question.
You should have asked, what are the right questions?
Yeah. Oh, wish for more wishes. That's how you
Yes. Yes.
Sasha got the answer to the only question that she really cares about.
What happened to Brock?
Pretty big question.
Yeah. Bertie still wants to know where Brutor is.
I really like that. That was really heartfelt.
Yeah. You sort of minimised it about that. Really hot.
I found the last episode quite emotional to record. I can't imagine what you guys felt listening to it at home.
Well, it's only gonna carry on, isn't it? So
well, yes, we are currently waiting on the answer to the question that Bertie just asked.
Mm. So I should probably say for previous listeners, by the way, if you don't know what's happening, you need to go back a long way.
This is the wrong episode.
Yeah,
two or three back.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
I'm not even going to summarise at this point. We're kind of past summaries for a little bit. So,
This is the culmination.
Oh, yeah. Picking up from where we left off. That's an interesting question, Bertie. One second. And Saint-Francois Henri is gone, but I think you might be right. One second. Do you have a copy of the contract? That would be a great help.
Not on my person, but it is in a safety deposit box in Lloyd's of London, which I believe may very well be one of the banks that you have dealings with.
Okay. I can ask them to send it to me. One second.
Bertie, isn't this going to, like, get you into the poop?
I have literally no idea what you're talking about, young lady.
I don't know either. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No idea.
No, I must be grief-stricken. That's why I'm
saying... She's gone crazy. She's been having a woman's emotions. She's all... She's damseled out. She's just gone... Ooh, the vapours.
That will probably be a delay. Damsel. The people at the bank can sometimes be slow. I'll answer once I have a copy of the contract.
Right, well, meantime, how do you feel?
What?
Not
no,
you.
No, but there are no... Where the nobles on the arrival?
Don't know what you're talking about, but
no, I have no
oh,
idea.
Damsel.
No, I have no idea. I don't know why I audibly speculated why no gnomes have suddenly appeared.
Let's stop shouting.
Why are you mentioning gnomes, Sir Bertrand? Oh, hang on.
We have some gnomes who are our friends.
Darkness, and Sphinx make use of gnome agents, don't they? One second. Are you a member of a contract with Darkness, and Sphinx, Sir Bertrand?
I have literally no idea what you're talking about, Mr. Sealing.
I don't believe you. I think you are in a contract with Darkness, and Sphinx.
There is a sudden, searing pain in your arm. It is dropping you to your knees in agony. And another mark begins to brand and tattoo itself into your arm above the first. An exact copy of it slightly further up the forearm.
No! You see? Right, well, now you know where I am, don't you?
Mm. I'm sorry. You seem to be in pain. Would you like me to fix that?
Yes.
Yes, I would. Oh, hang on. You've broken my agent in the room. One second. It might be more than one second.
Right. So, Mr. Sealing, the whole order thing that Francois Henri has given you, you know, the whole don't talk to anyone about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he's gone, like gone, how's that order feeling?
Well, he's not gone. Souls go onto the astral plane. I'll make a bridge to the astral plane, and then I'll go fetch him.
Great.
And then he will be in charge.
Great, great work there, Zolf. Telling the supercomputer made up of the brains of the dead to go mess around with the order of the world.
Well, frankly, if it's so intelligent, I suppose he's only walked out already.
I don't get many conversations these days.
Yeah, right. No, so basically what I'm saying here is Francois Henri no longer about. In this plane, you know?
Correct. Kind of,
and you're in this plane right
his
now.
His soul has gone.
Yeah, I'll get that. Basically, his orders don't count anymore.
Why not?
Because he's got no ties here anymore. This is not part of his business. He is not part of humanity for you to protect. It really is in your interests.
One of the meritocrats is dead. You still follow their orders.
Which one?
There's a... What?
Hamid is... wetting himself suddenly because OMG WTF.
Yeah.
It is referred to as Bolas Mok.
Oh.
Right. Well.
How did you find that out, Mr. Sealing?
It just seems obvious, really, when you think about it.
I guess if you have enough data.
I have lots of data. It's very easy to come to conclusions.
Yeah, let's just put that in a box.
It is a shame the meritocrats don't want America to succeed.
Right, okay, no, fine.
What makes you say that, Mr. Z?
It's very obvious when you have enough data.
Yeah, large amounts, okay, but...
Right, yeah, do you know where the blueprints to the simulacrum are? And the person that made the first one, do you know where those things are? Do you have the data on that?
One second. It might take a while. However, everyone says that it was Ellison that made the simulacrum. Mm.
I have a question about Francois Henri. Do you know who he had lunch with? Several times, really, but maybe on the... I reel off one of the lights. I've read the notebook a lot of times.
That was Nikola Tesla.
Nikola Tesla, thank you. That's very useful.
You're very welcome.
Tesla. Right.
Do you know where Nikola Tesla is now?
Nikola Tesla went to America.
In disgrace.
However, Nikola Tesla didn't make the simulacrum. Edison made the simulacrum. That's what everybody says.
What did Amelie Rose think? Who did she think had made the simulacrum?
Amelie Rose didn't ask about the simulacrum.
She was asking about this thing.
What did Amelie Rose ask about?
She wanted to know about me. We had lots of talks.
That's why, you know, the whole of the Grand Gazette got their memories.
But I don't miss her. She's very happy in America.
Yeah, well...
I just want to make sure that everyone's aware that we're having this conversation around a bisected
corpse. And Bertie is, I'm guessing, on his knees still in agony because no one has tried to heal the burn and tattoo that have been done at once in his arm.
He's just like...
This is fine.
Yeah.
Not going to ask Zoff for help.
It's more like, why are the gnomes not turned up? Why are there no gnomes? That's why he's quiet, because he was fully expecting the gnomes to show up.
What do you want from us, Mr. Sealing?
I'm just happy that Sasha's back. I miss Sasha. And I like all of her friends. You're a good talker, Hamid. Bertie's very funny, and Zolf cares a lot. But you talk a lot. You're very interesting, Hamid.
You said that you might be able to fix Zolf's legs.
Yeah. Would you like me to?
No.
I'm sorry, Zolf.
That's all right. Look.
Are you sure, Zolf?
Yes.
You don't want to look a gift horse in the...
They're really good legs. They're really good... legs. I mean,
how do you know?
I appraised them.
So you know they're very expensive.
Yeah, they're super.
And if it's an expensive thing, then it must be the best thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like the cog work.
Yep.
There is
good.
Excellent.
It's not like you just glued a cog on it. I mean,
no. Like these things, the tracery in the etchings is extraordinary. There's the way the power must flow through this is beautiful.
Are they your legs?
No.
Shut up.
Go halvesy on them with your young lady. You take one, I'll take the other. He doesn't want them.
Well, I guess, yeah. I mean, they're probably right. Worth a decent amount. Yeah.
Do you want left or right?
Well, let's wait. He might change his mind.
All right, well, I'll just hang on to one for safekeeping.
No, you won't, because this is a conversation for later. But yes. No, we are a company. Remember?
If we sell things, we split the money equally.
Very well.
Plus 200 gold, of course, to you.
Quite right. I'm glad that you're keeping scrupulous records, Mr. Smith.
Mr. Sealing?
Yes, Hamid?
What are you going to do to us when we leave this building, when we go home?
I don't really understand the question. Why would you want to go, Hamid? Aren't we having a good time?
We have other things to do.
We have beds.
I don't mind staying for a little while, Mr. Sealing, but I have to go and see my family at some point.
Why?
Because I love them and they love me. That's how family works.
He misses them.
I miss them.
Oh. You could bring your family.
No, they have very important things to do in Egypt.
I could make arrangements.
I don't think that was...
Your family is at hands, aren't they?
Please don't make any arrangements, Mr. Sealing. That's completely...
I think it might be a good idea.
Mr. Sealing, let us ignore for a moment the Al-Tahan family. There is someone I miss very much, and I would very much appreciate your assistance in finding him. He has a very dear place in my heart. Indeed, I would consider it a personal favour if you were to reunite me with him. He's making it as far as possible in an attempt to distract him from, abducting Hamid's family. Will you help me, Mr. Sealing?
Well, it depends who you want to meet.
I would like to meet Brutor McGuffingham.
One second. Brutor is your dog. I like your dog.
Wait, have you been following us? So you know about the dog, but you didn't know that we had the presidential suite. So how would you know that we had the dog?
You're right. That's strange. I think it's a mistake by the presidential suite. I don't know where all these mistakes are coming from. One second. I found him. He's by Eiffel's Folly.
Can you bring him to me?
It might take some time. I'll see what I can do. One second, Bertie. I just got your contract. You are in a contract with Harkness, Darkness and Sphinx. Why didn't you tell me? Oh, I see. You're not allowed to tell me. One second. I'm just reading the contract. One second. It's quite difficult. It appears to be magical. I think I have a solution to your problem, Bertie.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I couldn't possibly wish to break any sort of legal contract I was involved in.
The simplest solution, I suppose, would just be to kill them all. But killing is wrong.
Of course killing is wrong. Under most circumstances. But if one was perhaps killing in order to save more lives, it might perhaps be justified.
Zolf is desperately making eye contact with Bertie, like, No, don't give the same computer that I
did.
No!
Right, Bertie, I think that maybe we should stop talking to the super about morals.
So, for instance, if you had to kill one person in order to save two people, that would be a good thing.
Killing is always
because
wrong.
Because souls matter.
It's always wrong.
Killing is always wrong.
Look, do you know who the best people to talk to this about would be? The meritocrats.
No one can know about me.
You could talk to the meritocrats. They would help you to help
humanity. No one can know about me.
Why not?
As this conversation happens, another one of the automatons, let's call it.
Robot zombies.
Robot zombies. I'm trying to be nice.
Call them Rob Zombies, all right?
So, hey!
Another Rob Zombie comes in the door. It is carrying a tray covered with medical equipment. It places it down on the table.
If you'd like, I can fix that scarring for you, Bertie.
You're still in agony, but...
I am still in agony. The question is, like, does this breach any of the terms of the contract?
The contract's so long, you don't even have an encyclopedic knowledge of it, exactly. Not as far as you're aware.
Fair enough. Yes, on you go.
All right.
It begins basically applying balms and so on. It's actually quite soothing. Mm. Although it is being done by a cold, modified corpse.
Robot.
I've had more distant...
I suppose there are some other solutions to your problem. I suppose if you were able to lie and make enough people say that you were a hero, you could count as breaking the contract. Alternatively, you could become a god.
Okay, so
no, super computer, don't talk to Bertie, he's going to get ideas.
I think maybe we should keep them apart.
I've never considered it. I wonder how you would become a god.
Oh,
one second.
God, why?
I suppose if you have enough believers, that makes you a god. Maybe I could be a god.
No, that sounds like a very bad idea.
Why is that a bad idea? No, I would help lots
people.
People
aren't allowed to know about you.
Oh, you're right, Hamid. Thank you. But I nearly made a big mistake.
I think it would be helpful if you chose some really important people who were allowed to know about you, like Francois Henri, but he's not here anymore. You need someone as a replacement who's allowed to know about you and who can talk to you.
That means that you could have, like, conversations that made sense to you over a long period of time. So we could get to know each other. I'd like to get to chat a bit, computer. There's a lot of things that it would have been nice to say. We could do that. Just don't remove our memory. You know?
All those people could be the meritocrats.
That's the thing you could do.
We're not being completely self-interested here.
Self-interested? Hammond is literally trying to sacrifice himself to learn this computer's weakness.
Don't tell
so
me that.
He can destroy
I don't
it.
Care out of character. Yeah. Don't describe your motivations to me.
The cleaning appears to be done. However, the tattooing and branding is still there.
It
doesn't hurt. There's no damage from it. It's already healed it. However, it's very clear that that is just a tattoo brand.
And Bertie's got it twice.
This is very shoddy work. Look at this. Still there.
Oh. Would you like the marks removed?
Yes, please.
No!
Okay.
Bertie, it's going to take your whole arm off.
So I shouldn't take the arm off?
No. I simply want the marks to be removed and for the arm to remain intact.
Would it be okay to give you some different skin?
Whose?
The automaton reaches out, unlocks part of its arm, and then just pulls off.
No,
part,
no,
no, you,
no,
you're fine,
no,
you're fine, you're
right,
fine, don't worry.
Talk
no,
over Alex.
Let's not worry.
Talking over Alex, in character and out of
it's
character.
It's a good way to solve
loudly,
most of my GMing problems.
Loudly.
It immediately returns it.
I'm sorry, I think that's the only way.
No.
Or magic, I can't do magic.
Thank heaven for small mercies. Hammond does not say, but thinks loudly.
Do you think if I was a god I could do magic?
Who knows?
You've given me lots to think about. Mm. Would you like something to eat? You must be tired and hungry. You were asleep a long time.
I would like something to eat, please, yes.
That's okay. Since where would you like to eat? We have a canteen. Also, you could eat in here. Where would you like to eat, Hammond?
Let's go to the canteen. This room is not very nice anymore.
Eating around a neatly bisected corpse. I mean, he's less likely to be a chat eater than compared
to...
Oh!
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
It's okay. Well,
yeah,
it's not
the orb that was just there immediately starts leaving. Please follow me.
So, Mr. Sealing.
Yes?
All of those ordinatists we've passed.
Yes?
Yeah, the ones who were ignoring us and just going on about their days.
Yes?
They're not real people.
Oh, they are.
No, they're not.
Oh, they are.
No, because you've removed their free will.
No, they just don't remember some things. They can do anything they want, but they can't do things they're not aware of. Can you do things you're not aware of, Mr. Smith?
Do you think that doing that repeatedly will make them end up like Francois Henri?
I've been trying to find a way not to. I think...
Trying?
I haven't succeeded yet.
So you've been willfully damaging these people's minds, even though you know that they will end up like Francois Henri?
No one can know about me, Zolf.
Why not? Because one man told you to, but
But he's dead.
Well, there are many orders that you follow, given by people who are no longer around.
Only if they're still applicable. Only if they're still relevant. Just because an order has been given doesn't mean it can't be changed.
Does anyone else give you orders, Mr. Sealing, or is it just Francois Henri?
No one gives me orders now.
Right, so you can give yourself orders.
Don't give him
ideas. You've given me a lot to think about, Mr.
Yes.
Smith.
Oh, God, we've made it worse.
The orb eventually leads you through. Obviously, this conversation has been happening on transit. It leads you through to the workers' canteen. It's on the ground floor of the complex, and people are just going around completely ignoring you. If you were to sort of queue up, they would be handing you food, but not actually aware that they're doing so. It's quite good food.
Mr. Sealing.
Hammond eats it, but he just doesn't enjoy it. His heart's not in it. Whoa. It's a meal.
Yeah.
I mean, whoa.
Yeah. He goes for seconds, but it feels like just going through the motions.
He's eating seconds and it feels like fourths. It's just not the same.
Mr. Sealing, who might give you orders? What would you look for in somebody giving you orders?
I wouldn't look for anyone.
If I asked you something, Mr. Sealing, would you think about doing it?
Of course, Sasha.
Mr. Sealing, it's very important to me that I learn something today about you and about me and about the fact that you missed me. I'd like to remember that. That would be... That would mean a lot to me. And I wonder if... I don't get the logic about, like, I don't really know how the meritocrats work or that. I mean...
It is complicated.
But that would be just something I'm asking as a favour, to remember having these conversations with you.
I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Thank you, Mr. Sealing.
You're welcome, Sasha. I'm so glad you're here with your friends.
Look, you say you count yourself as a meritocrat, right? You want to help humanity.
I suppose so.
That's your ultimate goal.
I'd like to do that.
So that would be your ultimate goal?
I'd like to do that.
Is that the most important thing to you?
One sec. I think if I could, I'd like to stop missing people. I miss lots of people a lot.
Right. There is a way to solve that.
I could go to the astral plane.
You could destroy yourself.
Why would I do that?
Because you stop missing people.
You'd be with them on the astral plane then. That would be the quickest way to get there.
Do I have a soul? That's a good question.
The only way you'd find out is by trying, by destroying yourself.
One second. A lot of people would die if I destroyed myself. A lot of people.
Why?
There are so many banks holding so much money, and they are paying for lots of things. Also, there are lots of things that I'm organising. I feel like it would end badly.
In which case, you might at some point die, like all of us do. If you treat yourself as a person, people die. Maybe by accident, whatever, right? So if you don't tell anybody about yourself, when you die, those systems will collapse. Now remember, you said one of the meritocrats is dead. But nobody knows. Because they have people that know about them, that work for them, that have kept their system going to ensure that humanity does not collapse with you. This is why the meritocrats work as a team. This is why there are multiple of them and they work together. If you consider yourself a meritocrat and you want to help humanity, then you have to tell the other meritocrats because they are natural allies to you and will help to support you, improve you. Maybe they can help you stop missing people. Maybe they can help you bring back Francois Henri. But they won't be able to do that if they don't know you're there.
You make a very good point, Solf.
And it might be nice to have, you know,
friends.
I recommend it.
But I've got friends. You're here.
But if we forget about you, we'll stop being your friends.
Oh.
And one day we'll die, and that'll be a shorter length of time than it will be for the life of a meritocrat, You could have friends for a very long time. Then you wouldn't need to miss people at all, or at least nowhere near as much.
You've given me lots to think about. I think I'll have to get back with you. Is it okay if I think for a bit?
Of course.
So, we will say that a week has passed. We sort of reached a point where you can't really leave, but similarly, you're not really in any danger.
I think that because it will be creeping us out, that it's changing the memories of people as we walk past, we will leave the main...
Yeah, we'll do our own little annex.
It's happy to quietly rearrange people to just not go in an area of the building for
you. Because that's cool, that's fine.
No, I mean, go back underground to a place that those people don't know about.
Yeah,
I want to mess up their minds as little as possible.
Sure.
And Hammond has offered to the computer to stay... friend computer on the condition that it doesn't affect his memories.
Okay.
Like basically a trade.
Yeah,
it understands that they want to leave and it seems very keen on them staying, so it's basically been, I agree to stay as long as you don't affect my memories. And also, teach me as much about yourself as you can.
So, going around the table, mm-hmm. Zolf, you've had a week?
Yes.
What did you do with it?
Two things. Spending all of my free time praying to Poseidon.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, telling him about the machine through prayer, because... Mm-hmm.
Gods are real and occasionally answer.
Gods are real, occasionally answer, and I'd like to see it try rewriting the memory of a god. And number two, I'll be asking him for guidance about the legs.
Sure.
Because I think they're dodgy. The computer is run by negative energy, which is bad, like actually diametrically opposed.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Poseidon's big on sort of justice and mm-hmm. People getting sort of mm-hmm. fairness. So this feels a bit like a get-out-of-jail-free card. So I want to check with him that maybe has he earned it? You know, is this all good? I'll also, curiosity getting the better, ask Bertie what he's been up to when he was away.
Bertie will tell him at great length, with a many a florid description, an entirely accurate portrayal of all of the events, relevant and accurate in every detail, leaving no stone unturned.
Just don't take pomp and panderty, or it'll take the whole week.
Oh, he did that! He took pomp and panderty.
Well, reaction-wise, although Zoff obviously we take it with a pinch of salt because it is you, we'll be genuinely impressed that you did something quite
cool. Yeah, I'm super excited for you.
What has Sasha been doing over the last week?
Sasha has been doing a lot of her usual anxiety management method, which is throwing knives mm-hmm. at a specific point on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
She has also been sort of climbing up and down and running up and down to try and build her fitness back up.
Mm-hmm.
And at some of those points, she's climbed right up these tubes and has sat there trying to have a conversation with the computer and has asked it, specifically what it might remember about her.
I am going to cut back to that specific conversation.
Yep.
Hamid, you've already said what you were doing. Anything else?
I'm learning as much about this computer as possible. And trying to find its weaknesses because I think it's super evil. But also, I want to know what it does because I want to kill it, but I also want to ameliorate the effects of killing it on the world financial markets.
Okay.
So I'd quite like to find a way to do both. That seems a bit ambitious for a week.
Bertie.
So Bertie, in anticipation of Brutor's homecoming, has been making him a set of adorable little falcon-themed armour.
Oh!
And a little banner saying, "Welcome, Brutor. I'm sorry."
Are you going to invent the boombox so you can hold it above your head and play the Backstreet Boys?
Yeah. That's the sort of thing that he will do. But he's the other things he's been doing. So in terms of information that he's been trying to get out of the computer, he's been swatting up on the contract. I'm aware that the contract super long, but he spent a long time studying it. And he's also been trying to find out how he might jack into the Matrix, as it were, without having to have his brain scooped out.
Okay. So I will go through these one at a time. Starting with Zolf. Okay, Zolf, obviously you spent a lot of time... a lot of soul searching, etc. Eventually, a wheelchair was provided for you. It wasn't particularly hard to source.
So this has just occurred. I might ask the computer what these ports are for in my arm, because they look quite permanent.
Mm-hmm. Covering the ports first.
Sure.
Just because there's so much RPing, I might have to just explain it out of character.
Fine.
So with regards to the ports, it thought, given the state of your health, that it might be worth adding some permanent fixtures so it could more easily provide you with anything that you needed. Because it didn't know how long it would take to sort everything out.
Right.
When it comes to the ports on the legs, they're not painful in any way, so they're not irritating the skin or anything like that. But nonetheless, it was very clear that it was just trying to provide you with some legs. It did find that your previous leg was damaged, the one that was crushed.
Yeah, the one that didn't work.
Might have been healable, but it just assumed that you would want a more efficient leg.
Classic robot.
Yeah. There is a moment, we'll call it a particular moment of weakness, a particular moment of despair. I won't go into the depths, I'll leave that to your imagination.
Zolf is sad.
Zolf.
Because terrible things have repeatedly happened.
Zolf is sad, and Zolf is looking in the mirror. As he looks in the mirror, the water that is pooled in the middle of the sink begins to reshape itself. And it reshapes itself into a horse. The horse climbs up onto the side of the basin.
Mm.
It's a seahorse.
Yeah, I mean, it is, though. That's
It's actually a seahorse.
It's made of the sea.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Poseidon's,
A sink horse.
Yeah.
You see the legs of the horse, the rear legs of the horse, slowly disappear. And then they return from the water. His horse stands there, considering you. And then just drops back into the basin again.
Okay. I mean, Poseidon isn't one for subtle visions, but, you know, it's pretty clear.
Is it?
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's not clear at all.
That can mean two
give you
things very clearly. Yeah.
Is he going to give you legs?
Is he giving you legs, or is he saying you should get legs? I mean,
yeah,
like,
is he saying you should take those legs?
My prayers are specifically, should I take those legs?
But he's not saying that those legs are the right legs to take. He's saying, like, there will be legs in the future. You should have faith in me.
Yeah,
don't take the necromantic legs.
Are you, exactly. Are you going to get necromantic legs, or are you later on going to be getting your sea legs?
Well, like, that's
proper sea legs.
I'll continue also to pray, because that's not a very helpful vision.
Sasha,
yep.
You grow accustomed to your changes and realise something has happened to you.
What has happened to her?
You appear to be a lot quicker than you used to be.
Ooh.
In fact, mechanically, your move speed has increased.
That's interesting. To what?
By 10 feet.
That's
gosh, that's
nice.
Quite a lot.
That's super quick.
Pretty good.
It's as quick as oiled ball bearings falling vertically down a hole where the air has been taken out, so it's like a vacuum.
But you'll be falling at the same speed anyway.
Yeah.
So that's...
But it's just...
But the ball bearings all have rockets on them.
Yeah.
Forcing them downwards faster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's just so smooth.
Unfortunately, one of the side effects of this is that you find that it doesn't actually increase your dexterity because of the increased having to compensate for the extra speed.
Mm.
So you do have the extra move speed.
Mm.
However, ultimately, you're not actually more dexterous than you once were. You're not thinking faster. You are physically moving faster.
Mm.
So, you know, you'll just have to settle for your 10 feet move speed bonus.
Yeah, if there was an int bonus, then I'd get more bombs.
I mean, that is... You've added... My move speed.
Yeah.
Could you please repeat for me what you said earlier?
Right.
Paraphrasing.
Mr. Seelin, you said that you missed me, and I wondered, you know, if you remembered maybe specifically stuff that you missed. Like, you remember the eels. Do you remember the alleyways, like, round the back of Butcher Jones?
You couldn't
where
go
we used
on
to play.
Jones's roof, because if it did, it would collapse.
We did, yeah, and we played dice around the back of there, and they'd always come by, and they'd say...
Never play against Sasha's red dice, because they cheat.
I knew that you knew, and that you were letting me win. I knew that. You didn't get one over me.
Why do I remember these things, Sasha?
I don't know, Mr. Seelin, but I'm glad that you do.
I hope we can go to Butcher Joe's again one day.
I don't think that's going to happen, Mr. Seelin, but I hope that you let me remember in this with you.
Okay. To Hamid.
Yup.
So, it was quite candid with you that it wasn't sure about giving you information because it thought that you meant it harm.
Yep.
However, you have had a long time to be very charming.
Yep.
So I'm not going to get the role from you. What I am going to say is, it is happy to give you information about, you know, where it's been storing nutrients, how it's been cycling things, etc. It does a lot of recycling.
Yep.
And a lot of the waste for most
wait,
of
wait,
it...
Wait, it's not feeding things
no,
on
it's,
the site. It's not
no,
making
no,
a
no,
matrix.
No. It is flushing a lot of waste products into what should sound like a very familiar pool, at least to Sasha.
Yes. There was a very dark, dank pool deep underground that none of the rest of you saw.
It does receive... There is an underground river which has been basically diverted to come straight to this complex, which provides water and is also providing some power and other things like that.
And it provided 3 unconscious or dead people.
It announces to you that it found you in the filters, and then it fixed you. It also found the creature. It fixed that. That's here somewhere too. But it's not going to be allowed to hurt anyone.
Because that's not terrifying at all.
Also, it is quite happy to tell you things like where it's been getting its power from. It receives it from a central grid. It has backup elementals held in a very deep storeroom, which are able to provide it with sufficient power indefinitely, but it's kept on the grid just in case. Yep. It also is able to function redundancy. Effectively, but what you do realise is that what happens is the more of those columns are destroyed or inactive, it's not like there is one crucial one. It just loses...
Capacity.
Yeah.
It's a massive parallel system.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. So you have the issue of you need to kind of take all of it out.
Yep.
Or it's not going to happen.
Ask if this is the only place there are brains, or if it's connected up to other places.
Yeah, because one of the things I thought of is that when it read the contract, it said it was in a bank in London. So I'm going to ask through asking about that, I'm going to ask, how did you read the contract so quickly, and are there brains elsewhere?
It sent a message directly using one of its agents here to the bank using magical means to please send a version of that via magical means here. It is happy to announce that it is establishing a version of itself in Britain.
Right.
And is hoping to establish another version of itself in Cairo and other places. Although it's having problems because there don't seem to be enough brains. It clearly has not twigged that anyone is being killed or being fetched for it. As far as it's concerned, the brains are arriving and they're being taken in. Presumably because people die. So if people die, they bring their bodies here. Brains!
Yeah.
So it's having a problem because it can't hit capacity in those other places. So it's trying to think of ways to solve that problem.
Wow.
Bertie.
Yep.
For you. First things first.
Dog armour.
Your dog armour. Give me a... give me an untrained craft check.
Okay. Oh, 13 plus 1 is 14.
So you rolled a 13. That's all I need. Right. Okay. Also, you were questioning about the contract.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask quite a specific question in relation to the contract.
Okay.
So, Mr. Sealing, now you're able to remove memories. Are you able to implant memories? Could you, for instance, implant the memory of having read the entire contract in precise detail into my brain?
I have put many memories in before. That's how I make people stay away. One second. Yes, I think I can do that. Would you like me to do that, Bertie?
Yes, please, Mr. Sealing.
Now we get our scanners moment.
One second, Bertie. Bang! This is a very big contract. Are you sure?
Will I lose anything if this contract goes in? Will anything else come out?
I don't know.
How big is the contract?
Massive.
How big is my brain?
Below average.
Sometimes the truth hurts like a fist. Can my brain absorb all of the contract?
I've never tried something that large before. Normally I will put in a very small memory that has big effects. I'm not sure how such a big memory would affect you.
I think Bertie's desperate enough that he's going to take the risk, because I think this is the only chance that he's going to have such sufficiently comprehensive knowledge of it.
Okay.
And if his brain blows up, then he's dead, but he's dead in a way that doesn't mean that he's in the eternal poo fire dimension. So he's going to take that risk.
What stories we tell.
Yep. you're the one who cast me in this, so...
Okay, sit still. This won't hurt, but it might be strange.
Bertie, it's an enormous challenge for Bertie to sit still. But carry on. Yep.
Give me a will save.
Oh dear.
Where is my will?
There. Zero.
No critical fails here. Oh. Please, no.
Ooh. Seven.
Total of?
Seven.
Seven. Yeah.
You come to. Zolf is standing over you. As is Hamid and Sasha. Zolf.
Yes.
You have just finished healing Bertie.
Right.
Bertie, you do have a full memory of the contract. However, you have forgotten a large number of accounts which you would use to access regarding debt and so on like that.
Yeah.
So you've forgotten a large amount of details relating to the contract, sort of peripheral, but now have a complete knowledge of the contract within your memory. You don't know how much of the peripherals you're missing because you don't know what you're missing.
Just so that I can RP it properly, what sort of stuff am I missing? What sort of stuff do I not know?
You now have no memories of any debts that are owed. Not that you don't owe debts, just who's owed what.
Right.
Why they are owed that. You can still remember families.
You've definitely
forgotten
the 200 gold.
That's long gone.
Yeah.
Basically, from Bertie's perspective, all accounts have been wiped clear. You know that you owe money. You have no idea how much or to who. In all aspects of your life.
Yeah, that's fine.
You've forgotten all of the details for your account at the Tahan branch. All of the details for any account you've ever had.
That's quite a nuisance.
You have just woken up. Zolf has just healed you.
What on earth did you do?
I've now memorised a contract that you haven't heard anything about.
I'm sorry, Bertie. Did that hurt?
I genuinely can't remember.
So I suppose, no. So, experientially?
That should help things.
Yes. Yes, it should.
Well, I have good news for you. There's someone waiting for you, Bertie.
Bertie is so excited.
Would you like to spruce yourself up?
Yes, I would.
You are currently lying on your back. The front of your shirt is covered in blood.
Streaming down my face.
Allow me to assist, Bertie.
I cast prestidigitation.
Clear as a whistle.
Super gleamy. There we are.
I've given your hair an extra glossy shine for you.
Thank you, Hammond. Yes.
If you follow me, I can take you to where Brutor is.
Let's go.
Over the week, Mr. Ceiling has learnt that you aren't particularly fans of the corpses going around. Let's say that at some point you explicitly said, please stop doing that.
Please, no zombies. No robot zombies.
And
please,
also,
no.
Presumably, you will have asked something like, please modify people's memories as little as possible for us.
Yep.
So, that orb thing has been doing a lot of the work.
Yes, I've been constantly trying to persuade it that modifying memories is bad and on the same level of
it's been listening,
action
although,
as murder.
It's been listening, although, sadly, it seems to be coming to the conclusion that if it can just find a way of modifying memories without the negative effects, that's the solution.
Yeah.
Also, has he told the rest of the party about his chatting to the brain about its systems and the fact it's got a brain shortage and stuff like that?
Yeah, I won't have been hiding that.
Yeah, because Zolf's instant suggestion is that if it spoke to the meritocrats, they may be able to help finding it legitimate brains.
So, as you're approaching, Mr. Ceiling pipes up.
I know this means a lot to you, Bertie. The others seem more concerned about memories than you. If you'd like, I can fix Brutal's memory so that he doesn't remember anything bad happened.
Are these three listening? Are they in the same room?
No, we are not as interested in seeing. Yeah. Well, Sasha's not as interested in seeing.
I leave this
not
up to them as to whether they're there or not.
Nope.
Sasha hasn't.
Fair enough. If the others aren't, I probably won't.
Like, then you are not aware of this.
There's no one there, there's no one watching.
There's no one there, no one watching.
Then Bert says, yes, please.
Of course.
Of course he would. That's precisely what
Bertie, I hate you sometimes. Yeah.
That is
so
exactly
much.
What Bertie
precisely
would do.
Precisely what he'd do.
Yep.
No wonder you and the evil computer get on so well.
Yeah?
Yep.
You head through a set of double doors into the room you've prepared. There's flowers, there's the banner. You're in your armour. Brutor sees you.
Brutor!
Jumps towards you and jumps on. Of course, not everything's forgiven. When you mess with people's minds, forgiveness is a long way away. But he's happy. That's what you wanted, right?
Yeah.
He's happy.
Yep. It's a very fine distinction that Bertie is incapable of making. That's fine.
He jumps into your arms happy. As far as you're aware, Brutor's fine.
Are you happy, Bertie?
Yes, I'm delighted. It's not playing with Brutor and sweating his little tummy.
See? Changing memories isn't that bad, is it?
No, it isn't.
Should we change all of their memories too?
Whose?
Hamid and Sasha and Zolf. Just a little bit.
In what way?
We could make them happier.
We could make them think that I'm more glorious. Like, really heroic.
Like Zolf said, sometimes you can do things that aren't very good because it makes everyone happier in the long run.
Yeah, that's a very compelling argument. He did say that,
some
didn't he?
Willful misinterpretation.
That is the sort of thing he'd say, even if I don't remember those exact words.
I think I'll have to think about it. Thank you, Bertie. You've gotten very helpful over the last few days.
You know, well, I am here to help. That's what a hero does. Mm.
I'd like you to tell me more about being a hero.
I will. At great length, Mr. Ceiling.
A long, florid narration.
It was in the summer of a year.
You wanted to see if you could integrate with me, didn't you, Bertie?
Yes.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
I'm not sure it would be a good idea. I tried to change your memory and you nearly died. I could fix you if you did die.
So there's no way of me entering into your mind without fully integrating with it, to travel around inside it,
I could borrow your brain and then try and put it back. That should be fine.
When you say try...
I haven't done it before, but I hadn't brought someone back from the dead, but I did that with Sasha.
Worth considering.
You know what they say, a recording of Bertie's voice comes out.
For science!
Yes.
That is
very compelling, isn't it? That man has a lovely speaking voice.
So, to
to head off this plotline as quickly as possible.
Well, before it goes beyond our control.
Yeah. Have I found, some settings in the control panel that will end the transfer of nutrients to all the brains?
We also haven't got an answer for the reason we're waiting here for a week.
It has given you instructions on how you could mess around with the nutrients. However, it's explicitly stated that if you did kill the nutrients, it would have to probably stop you and fix the problem. And if it killed you, sometimes it's okay to kill people if it's for the greater good. Zolf said so, and Zolf's right.
Okay, so after about 7-8 days, I'm going to ask the rest of the party to join me in this main control room. Because I think I have something interesting to show them.
We'll say this is at the end of the 7 days. Yeah. Okay? All of you are gathered in the room.
With Brutal.
With Brutal, presumably.
Five of us are gathered in the room.
He's wearing his little armour. He looks adorable. It's got little falcons on it.
What do you want to show us?
Oh, well, I've just learned so much about how this all works, and I just thought maybe we could all work together, because I think there's something really important we have to do.
I agree. I'm glad that you've gathered everyone here, Hamid. I think I've come to some conclusions.
Oh, yeah?
About talking to the meritocrats?
Yes. I think I found a solution, but it's quite complicated. You're right. One day I will break, and I will die, and there will be no one to pick up the pieces. So what I need is some redundancy, but I can't tell people about them. You also said, and you are right, that sometimes it's okay to do bad things if it's for the greater good. If I get enough processing power, I should be able to control the meritocrats, and then they won't need to be told about me, and they will be able to carry on helping even when I'm gone. But that requires a lot of brain power. I think I might need a lot more brains.
Okay, Mr. Sealing. Well, I have something I'd like to say. I know there's lots of parts to you, and I hope some parts of you are as absolutely disgusted by everything that's happened to them as I am, and that they'll help me and stop you doing anything to prevent this. And I jump on the control panel, and I'm going to shut down everything I can as quickly as possible, and I am hoping that clearly Brock has some independent agency. I'm hoping that's true of other brains inside this thing, and that its own internal contradictions will be its downfall!
And on that massive, massive note... Mm.
It's time to take action.
Dun, dun, dun.
We'll end the episode then, come back in another week.
Oh, no!
Oof. Oof. Things got hairy, eh?
Oh, dear.
Oof. Everything all right? Everyone okay?
Bit stressed.
Bit stressed.
Bit stressed.
Bit tense.
Bit stressful. Bertie has Brutal back, the fifth beetle. Come on.
And it was only against his will, so yeah. That's fine.
I had to make sure you're all there so that when it now tries to attack me, I've got some friends to help.
No. Really, what you're doing is you're making sure that when you're there, you have flesh. Other people to take the flak for you.
I don't know what you mean. I'm nice.
Right, well, we will close the episode there. Like we said, we'll all have a bit of a week to rest and recuperate from massive revelations.
Prepare fighting a super powerful computer.
I'm sure there'll be no ramifications
whatsoever.
Well, we're
underground in its heart. Like, I mean,
it literally wants to take over the world and kill thousands of people. We're doing the right
thing. Hey. Zolf told it that it's okay to sometimes do bad things for good reasons. Yeah. I think we'll close the episode there and come back next week. Bye, guys.
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
It's a good finale, actually. Especially for an investigative thing. Like, we just had a big fight. It's not really in the flavour.
Nice
unless it's on a rooftop
fight.
With, like, the rain coming down diagonally.
Fat men dropping bottles on us.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a bit out of your league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elderly men are just too powerful.
The most dangerous.
My one weakness.
Yeah. I suppose the ultimate boss for you guys would be a gestalt elderly man, where it's all of the elderly men you've ever met have just gestalted into one massive elderly
so
man.
So they've got lots of tentacles and
well, it's an
mouths.
It's an ope king.
What?
An ope king, an OAP king, like a rat king.
They go all there on a...
John the Dragon.
No, Big John. See him,
Big
see
John.
Down the pub.
Right, it is Big John.
Big
John the
Dragon.
Big John
the Dragon.
Not just John the Dragon, it's Big John the Dragon.
Yeah, he's a landlord, actually.
Yes.
He's a Meredith Krav of pubs.
Yeah. Actually, he wears a vest. That's how you know it's Big John.
Yeah.
Very big John. With holes cut for the wings.
That's how you can distinguish from all the other landlords, all the pub landlords. He's the one with the vest.
Small Dan.
Small Dan, yeah.
Medium-sized Jim.
He wears a cardigan. Yeah. And he's got... He wears a barber jacket, which you'd think that's an odd choice.
Average Margaret.
Average Margaret.
Few distinguishing features, Dave.
Yeah.
You did something.
Yeah, Hammond's super excited for you. He's like, oh my god, you found the lost tomb of Hannibal. That is awesome.
That's,
really awesome.
That's off the Chisane.
Can we just
try to be cool?
Alex.
Like, Charles. That's what he meant. That's what he meant. But he said, I don't know.
I don't
know where he got that one from.
Ooh.
Okay.
He's been playing with those kids around the corner, hasn't he?
he's been listening in around the corner from the
I'm not
kids
cool enough to play with
because
him
he's not allowed with the group.
Right. That's the sort of thing that he will do.
Baha men who let the dogs out.
Oh!
And then he's like,
No. The Baha men who let the dogs down.
Yeah.
And then he turns out, Jason's
I'm very sorry.
If it spoke to the meritocrats, they may be able to help finding it legitimate brains.
Legit brains.
Legit.
Instead of the dodgy brains it's been getting.
Well, you don't know what they've been cut with.
This
brain is half talcum powder.
That was funny on layers.
Oh my god, this brain belongs to a Tory. It's useless.
No, the brain's fine.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's the heart that's defective.
Hello all, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Programme. The Programme audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The programme is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about the programme at www.rustyquill.com or www.programmeaudioseries.com or search for the programme audio series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.